and the heartthrob.
Is Romina here?
Who's that guy?
He's yours.
You're not gonna tell me?
I heard from you in over a year. Just took off.
My son and I should be around him. I wasn't around my dad looked the way I turned out.
How are you gonna take care of us?
I can't think of another line of work that I'd rather be in.
You're so smart, you can do anything you want. Just don't understand why you're doing this.
I'm a cop, Chad.
Got a kid? You wanna provide for that kid? You gotta do that using your skill set. And your skill set? Shazam.
Everybody wants to live, put your hands in the air!
105 in pursuit.
I'm Adam Shartoff, and you're listening to FilmWax Radio, the independent film talk show. Every week, we're visited by filmmakers, actors, programmers, journalists, and others to sit down and chat about the state of independent film. Today, my guests are married couple and filmmakers Shannon Plum and Derek Cianfrance. Shannon Plum is an accomplished video artist who has created, produced, and starred in over 200 of her own short films. Her work has been exhibited and screened in countless venues throughout the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Her work has been reviewed in such diverse publications as the New York Times, the San Francisco Weekly, Trace, the Village Voice, and et cetera, et cetera. Shannon's first feature film, which I recently heard referred to as her first talkie, is called Towheads, where she casts herself as a variation of a real self named Penelope, the Brooklyn mother of two boys, played by Derek and her real-life sons, Walker and Cody, and the wife of a harried theater director, played by husband Derek. Penelope barely has time to stay sane, much less create art. She finds comic relief from domestic drudgery by inhabiting the world in guises, drag king, pole dancer, Santa Claus, managing to find moments of grace even on thankless days. Accomplished video and performance artist, Shannon Plum makes a wincingly funny film debut that strikes awfully close to home. Towheads had its U.S. premiere this week at the new director's new film series. You can still see the film this coming Saturday at the Walter Reed Theater in Lincoln Center. Tickets are available at the box office, or you can visit newdirectors.org and purchase tickets online. Derek Cianfrance attended the University of Colorado Film School, where he studied under avant-garde film legend Stan Breakage and Phil Solomon. He went on to direct, shoot, and edit his first feature, Brother Tide, at age 23. That film, which he wrote with Joey Curtis and Mike Tillman, made its American premiere at the Sundance Film Festival and received critical acclaim. As director, Derek ventured into extensive documentary work, including profiling Mos Def, Sean Combs, and Run DMC. He has directed numerous commercials, including the pioneering internet serial Meet the Lucky Ones, which was cited by Adweek as one of the top 10 ad campaigns of 2004. His second narrative feature film, Blue Valentine, had its world premiere at the 2010 Sundance Film Festival. Ryan Gosling and Michelle Williams received Golden Globe and Critics Award nominations for their performances, and Ms. Williams earned an Academy Award nomination as Best Actress. Derek's new film, The Place Beyond the Pines, a sweeping emotional drama, powerfully exploring the unbreakable bond between fathers and sons. The movie stars Ryan again and Ava Mendez, Ben Mendelsohn, Bradley Cooper, and Ray Liotta. The film is being distributed by Focus Features and premieres this Friday, March 29th, in New York and L.A., then goes wide shortly thereafter. By way of disclaimer, I should add that Derek and Shannon's children attend the same school that my son attends. We're friends. We did this interview in their home, the same house where the majority of Towheads was shot, in fact. I welcome Shannon Plum and Derek Cianfrance to FilmWax Radio. So, yeah, so the guests today are two filmmakers who happen to share a family, and they are Shannon Plum and Derek Cianfrance. You both have films that are coming out basically in this more or less close together. Shannon, you have Towheads, which is just premiering at it's having its premiere, world premiere. U.S. premiere.
U.S.
You had your world premiere at Rotterdam?
Yep.
Okay, so this is your U.S. premiere. at the New Directors New Films Festival here in New York. And it just happens to be like days before Derek's film, The Place Beyond the Pines, is opening. Right? That's
crazy week.
Crazy week.
And you just got back from a little vacation. Was it restful?
No. He wasn't on vacation.
How do you?
I wasn't on vacation.
You were with,
Yeah, I was with my mom.
Yeah. And the kids, because she works, right, you're saying?
Yeah, and the kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
Up at some undisclosed town in upstate New York. That's not Syracuse. Were you just like kind of, Derek, were you just on the phone and emailing constantly? Because, I mean, these are days leading up to a major film here, right?
Been on a regional press tour, so...
Oh, right.
Yeah, I've been in Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Dallas, Chicago, Denver, D.C., Boston, Philly, promoting the movie, which is, basically living in like a press junket.
Right. And did you do New York already?
We did a New York press junket.
You
and
did
then
do
this
it. I missed
week,
that.
This week I have a number of, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, I have three screenings, three Q&As.
It's ridiculous.
And then Wednesday, Apple Store talk, and then go
to you're doing
Shannon's.
That. Who's interviewing at the Apple Store?
I think it's Eugene Hernandez.
Eugene, yeah.
The film's. And then we go to Shannon's premiere at MoMA, right on
is that
Wednesday.
Be Wednesday night.
And then my premiere is Thursday night, and then my
Thursday
film opens on Friday.
Uh-huh.
And then Saturday, hers is at Walter Reed.
Right.
And then Sunday, we bake a ham.
Sunday, you bake a ham.
Easter Sunday. Her parents are getting together for the first time in a long time.
They're both in New York, and you're going to celebrate Easter here?
Yeah.
In Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Wow. Jeez, I'm exhausted. Good night. Take care. Good to talk to you. All right, so let's give a synopsis of both films so those listening know what it's about, and we'll get people to come out and support the films first and foremost. And by the way, I just want to say also, Towheads, which is your film, Shannon, doesn't have a theatrical setup yet, right? It does not have it.
No.
Yeah, right?
No.
So we're just doing the, for right now, you're still in the festival mode.
Yeah.
And no doubt we'll have a theatrical soon enough. You're going to be at Rooftop Films as well.
Yeah.
Can I make a suggestion on these when we have to describe our films?
Please.
Can I describe Shannon's? And she can describe mine. It's easier that way, isn't it?
It's a great idea.
It's the hardest thing to do to describe your film. She doesn't agree.
There's no... They're doing shtick now. You got to get it worked out. I guess you won't necessarily have mutual appearance. Are you going to be appearing at her Q&As at all?
I don't know. I don't think we've figured out if Derek's going to come up.
Maybe he'll be really obscured.
She didn't put me in her film, really. So I'll hide behind the podium or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what to do. Are you going to come up front?
It's not my choice.
Yeah, just stay in the shadows.
Yeah, stay in the shadows, Shan. You take the glory.
Yeah, in a way that's, well, I don't know. It's not up to me.
All right,
describe Place Beyond the Pines, Shannon, which is Derek's film. Go on.
I can describe yours while you think about it, because you probably don't know.
Unless you get too mesmerized by the sound of him describing your film, and then you forget.
I'll say Towheads is a slapstick comedy version of Woman Under the Influence.
That's, wow.
Boom.
That's
you read that.
No.
What you said in the paper.
It's what I say. Yeah, because I've spoken about your film before.
So you're gonna say it in one sentence?
Yeah. Try to do mine in one sentence. Go ahead.
Yours needs to be like a haiku or something. You can't say it in one sentence. Let's see. The Place Beyond the Pines.
Come on.
I'm trying to think. It's been a while now since I saw it. It's definitely not slapstick. I don't know. I was thinking, I can't really tell you what it's about, but I was thinking about it today and thinking that, like, just how much of, like the classical, you make those guys shine so much. I was thinking about, like, East Eden and, like...
Yeah, Giant.
Giant and West Side Story. How, they just, I don't know, there's just something about the way they're shining, you know, but that's about the actors. Let me think.
But it's an epic.
It's epic, yeah.
You want a house? I'll get you a house. You want to get the fuck out of here? Well, get out of here. I got that trailer. I'll get a truck. We'll hit the road. You pick a place you like, we'll stop. You don't want to be there. You were out of there.
What about my mom?
She can come.
What about Kofi?
He can stay. He can get his own girl and his own kid. That's every man's right.
Sounds like a nice dream.
If I was to describe this in just a description way, I would say, see, I'm bad at this. I would say, okay, so there's three stories, right?
Three interweaving plots. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
They don't really interweave.
Takes place up at a No, they're separate.
Linear.
They're linear. Okay, very good. But do we mm-mm. alternate the stories or no?
Chronological order forward. The movie goes forward.
So chronologically. So because it's generational.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
We decided early on when we wrote the script that would be the bravest choice we could make, was not succumb to parallel editing, which is a great tool in filmmaking, from Tarantino to... Coppola to D.W. Griffith, the cross-cut storylines are powerful. I did it with Blue Valentine, but with Pines, it's about legacy and lineage, so I felt it needed to be linear.
Yes. It's a very American story, would you say?
Yes.
Did you?
Yes, America.
I wouldn't
take place in America.
So does Blue Valentine, but I wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't occur to me to describe that. Yeah, or that.
Blue Valentine ends on the 4th of July.
If you say it, I don't know.
It does.
I can't remember. Just kidding. I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen it, but
you know,
okay.
What I'd rather say though is that about with Derek's films is like with Blue Valentine and with this one as well is, to me, there's like such a beautiful portrayal of the modern man. You know, it's like with Blue Valentine, Ryan Gosling was playing like this super sensitive guy. You know, you see him cry, you see him make mistakes, you see him be a goofball, you know. And then in this movie, too, it's the same way. It's like the men have such hearts and they're made of flesh, you know. It's not...
They're flawed.
Derek is... I guess it's because of who you are, you know, and what comes...
Flawed and fleshy.
Flawed and fleshy. And like a turkey, a gobbly. Fun, I like.
You're getting used to it. Well, you come on as my permanent co-host.
But this is what I like about Derek's work. You know, okay. It feels like there's a new representation of men. Yes. You know, and that's exciting. It's exciting to see. You know, but I think that's with the Pines. It has a lot to do with the. Father and son and what Derek, you know, he's a father now and there's so many ties in there. I don't know how to approach this from like looking at it as just a movie. It's like more than that because I know him so well.
Right. Well, anyway, but I haven't seen your film yet, but I will be seeing it. I'll be there tomorrow night.
Oh, nice. At BAM?
No, actually.
SAG.
I'm dragging my butt into the SAG. Yeah,
SAG's
I'll be
winning.
At the Chelsea Cinema.
Cool.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. And but I've seen Towheads, and it was I loved it. I loved the physicality and your sort of self-deprecating humor. It was the visceral frustration of sort of feeling like you're running the whole thing yourself. You know, those frustrations. How much of that is based on fact, or how much? It's an exaggeration, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean. The whole thing with Derek playing this guy is, in my work, I always have stereotypes, and I really wanted the man to be, I didn't want it to be about the man. When I first started writing the script, I was like, maybe I'll just have him, like, open the door and then close the door, and he would be gone, so he wouldn't be in it at all, you know? But then... you know, started talking to people and they're like, you gotta have the man in there. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna put the man in, but I can't show his face because, you know, it's gotta be about the mom, you know, for mm-hmm. once. It's mm-hmm. the mother's story. So, I mean, of course, like, I know this. Shannon knows this when you need help and no one's around. And, I mean, Derek's been there when you need help and no one's around. And any parent can relate to it. But I wanted it to be the mom, you mm-hmm. know? And especially from all the friends that I talk to, I mean, a lot of ladies know that role, you know?
Right. Now that it's starting to be seen, the film, although it hasn't had its New York debut or U.S. debut, so this maybe can't answer this. Because I was wondering, you showed it in Europe.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what those women that saw that said to you.
There were a couple of ladies who really responded. I mean, it was kind of amazing.
Did they get it?
Yeah, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also counted about 5 walkouts by older men, actually. And then, you know, who's to say, right?
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, there you go. And then...
older men, yeah. They don't go to movies.
Their wives left with them. So it was actually 2 older men and their 2 wives. But, I don't know. The women and men seemed to really like it. Whoever asked questions mm-hmm. was really, you know, excited about it. But it only showed 2 times there, so right. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little early. You'll see, I guess, in the next few days, because you've got a few screens. Is it just 2 screenings, or is it 3 over or 4?
It's 2.
So you'll be at MoMA and at the Film Society, Lincoln Center. This week. And then I know then you'll be at Rooftop Films also in July,
I think, yeah.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
That should be interesting because a lot of those folks are kind of the hip, younger demographic, I suppose.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering what their reactions to your film is going to be, you know, how they're going to interpret.
I'm curious because I think some moms, you know, are going to be like, what's up with this lady, you know? Yeah. What's her problem, you know? But then... That's
reaction, though.
It's reaction, yeah. It's all good.
Yeah. And Derek, likewise, what are the reactions to the characters that, you know, Ryan is in it again, and Bradley Cooper is in it, and you've got also Ray Liotta, isn't it? Ben Mendelsohn.
I also had a bad experience with an old man at a screening. I was in Dallas, and I mean, maybe it wasn't a bad experience. It was just...
confrontational?
It was an experience that just stuck with me. I was about ready to go do my Q&A, and the movie was just ending and the credits were rolling, and I heard a older man stand up and say, "That was a terrible show." And then his wife says, "Oh, honey, don't you want to stay and hear the director's going to speak at the Q&A?" And he says, "Why would I? It was boring. Nothing happened."
Mm-hmm. When that kind of thing happens, do you automatically try to put yourself in his shoes and understand that?
No, it kind of gets me excited to go up there. It's like, it feels like pure honesty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I appreciate it. I mean, I know my movie is divisive, you know, it's loved and loathed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nice to hear it. It's nice not to always have yes men around you. I think sometimes people to your face try to be nice, you know? Mm. And so I appreciate honesty.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to make movies that are honest, so I appreciate it when I hear honesty, you know.
Did the codger stick around, or did he?
No, he took off.
I did.
He took off.
Yeah.
I always try to, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he took off. But then there was a lot of college kids that, you know, stuck around.
It's interesting. Before you walked in, we were talking about how some of the criticism of Towheads and how critics, especially, they just don't know how to deal with a film and a character, which is primarily with the film is all about, you know, your character, Penelope. And so they don't know how to write about the film. What am I looking at here? This is because it's not easy to compartmentalize, or you know what I mean? And which is kind of centrally part of what they're doing. They're trying to come up with the language that compartmentalizes. It's natural. But if you think back at that Woman Under the Influence and those Cassavetes films, I mean, the people in those films, the characters in those films were not like anything anybody had seen on film before. There was no conventional format to the storytelling there. I mean, you had no idea where like that Jenna Rowland's character was going to end up. Anyway, my point being is I think with some time, people are going to look back and describe the film with a lot of positive things to say. Because if you look back now, Blue Valentine is considered a really successful, great film. But I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, the reviews were mixed There was a lot of people didn't like.
It was very divisive. You know, yeah. I mean, look, it stayed alive out there. You know, it's had a life. But I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like, we're not like making Burger King movies. It's not have it your way. The audience doesn't have a say in how you're making it. You're making, I think both Shannon and I are making very personal stories. I know for me, I'm trying to see, I'm making a movie for myself as an audience member, and I respect the audience in that way. But at the same time, it's like I think it's important that there's, controversy or varying opinions on the film. You know?
It kind of matters, doesn't it? It's not disposable.
Well, yeah, because it's, at least people are talking, That's a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. And the films, again, are Toeheads, which is Shannon Plum's comedy, which will be at the New Directors Film Festival on Wednesday at MoMA, Wednesday evening, and again on Saturday evening at the Walter Reed at Lincoln Center. Derek, Place Beyond the Pines opens on the 29th in New York, right? And Los Angeles.
Yeah. Then April 5th, like another 10 cities. And then the 12th, it goes wide, I think.
Oh, okay.
April 12th, yeah.
Yeah. And demand, is that something that's coming? Would, I guess,
be down? Oh, on demand?
Yeah, I don't know.
Focus doesn't, who's distributing it, doesn't really have a VOD model, I don't think. I think whenever the DVD hits, whether that's, depending on how well the film does, late summer, early fall. Yeah. It opened in France last week, though.
What do they make of it?
It's doing very well.
Yeah. Are they big fans of the Gosling?
I think they're big fans of the Gosling and the Cooper.
They love American films. They love film.
Yeah.
They're real appreciative of film, right?
Yeah.
In a serious way, I think. Yeah. They're one of those countries that subsidize film, right? The government, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Pretty sure.
I know that it's nice when they like your movies, because they're...
They take a lot of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of films that can be made, financed just through, French companies like Studio Canal, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. And this is, this is Focus, right? Is that what we
said?
This
is Focus. Yeah. And Studio Canal, has it in France and UK.
Since you guys were obviously making the films, at least part of it had to be overlapping.
Yes.
Right. I'm going to guess. What was the time frame?
I was shooting, and when I finished shooting, while I was shooting, Shannon was writing. I remember every day she would say, I got to page 2, or then she'd say, I'm on page 12, I'm on page 73.
And there's no dialogue. That's the funny thing.
It was numbering. She was excited. And pretty soon she got to like page 88, and she was nearing the end. It was exciting. And then I was done shooting my movie, and I started editing, and she started rewriting hers, and then midway through my editing, she got her money, and she started shooting while I was editing. I finished editing. I came home to, help out, to be with the kids, to be in it a little bit, and then she shot. And then we went on vacation, and then she edited. Yeah, we're sharing time.
I know you've been making films, right? Shorter. And less commercial format, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what have you learned from each other?
I mean, it's interesting because, Derek, when he was making Blue Valentine, I kept thinking, wow, this is really hard, it's just going to be crazy. And I'd see him going through everything it takes to make a film and just like being like, come on, really? Do you have to do that really again? You got to go back to the edit again? You got to pick up that phone call now, and just all that stuff. And I realized, and the decisions he had to make, and like he would have problems, and I would be like, I don't really understand. But and then when I went and did it, it was like it was probably one of the best things about making that movie is I started to understand him completely. Like, I mean, as much as one can understand another one and get in their shoes, that's what happened, mm-hmm. you know? And, I mean, after that experience of knowing what he was going through, I just always, I was like, everyone should do that. Everyone should switch roles, you know? Like, I mean, like mm-hmm. if you're a nurse married to a lawyer, you guys should switch one day. Mm-hmm. You have to. Like, you just have to. That should be like a holiday, you know, where everyone switches, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, really, it's like I understood so much about Derek after that.
Right.
So that was one of the best things about making the movie is now I can be like, okay, I get it, mm-hmm. you know? I can still yell, but I'm like, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any?
You can still yell.
Have you taken anything from
Shannon?
From Shannon's
style? A ton. Uh-huh. I mean, that was a good switch because then I was home for all those months with the boys, which was great. But it was also, I was the diary of the mad housewife at home, mm-hmm. you know, and it was, but it was
great
beautiful.
Comedy. Yeah.
Yes. Frank Perry, right?
The director.
Yeah.
It's hard to. That's a hard one to get your hands on, actually. Yeah. But Frank Langella was the stud in that one, right? And
I don't remember him. All I remember is Frank Perry, who did The Swimmer, did it.
Oh, with Burt Lancaster?
Yeah.
But for some reason, I'm blanking on the actress's name.
I know, you can't find that movie anymore, though. I used to work at a video store where we watched it.
But yeah, somebody will eventually. I'm sure they're working out some legality. But no, she ended up having the main character who's married to, I believe, Richard Benjamin, who's a rich doctor or lawyer, I can't remember which, I think a doctor. And she's having essentially a similar issues of isolation and frustration and just with a lot more money, you know, I guess. But she ends up having a torrid affair with this guy. I can't remember how she meets him, but he's played by a very young Frank Langella.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the thing that sticks out to the most for me with that film was the opening, like, 5 minutes. There's a beautiful montage where, like, the sound and picture are really linked, and it's kind of builds to this cacophony of, like, sound and image. It was a great opening.
When did you see it?
I saw it, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago.
Well, you must have been pretty young. Maybe it would come on TV, right? And
I saw it at the video store. Maybe it wasn't 25. No, I'd say it was 20 years ago.
When I was working at
the video store, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And going through all of Frank Perry's films.
Uh-huh.
He was such a great filmmaker. But I'll say the other thing I learned from Shannon was all about actors from Shannon.
In what
all
way?
About acting. Well, because she's an actor. She's a performer. And so... I never knew what to do with actors until I met Shannon.
Huh.
I never knew how to. My first film, Brother Tide, doesn't have the best performances because I didn't really know how to deal with actors.
I see.
Of course, I've been dealing with like some of the greatest actors on the planet in my last few films, but I learned how to communicate with them and work with them based on just kind of discussing it with Shannon because she was trained as an actor. You know, and she's always performing. She's in front of the camera. I've never been in front of the camera. I've been behind the camera.
Well, you're in front of the camera in Towheads.
In Towheads, yeah.
You were very natural. He's really good. I thought you were really good.
Despite the mustache and the...
Or maybe because of the
and
mustache.
And the mullet. You don't really see those things. I put in all
and
this
glasses.
Work.
Yeah.
I put on 10 pounds.
That had to be a little fun. I'll have another portion, please, in seconds.
No, it was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun being in front of that. And also with Shannon and I, she's like comedy in our house and I'm tragedy.
I see.
It's nice
balance there.
To balance it out.
Yeah.
But oftentimes like her movies are funnier than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes I'm funnier in real life than you are.
Hmm.
Yeah. You're more serious than me in real life. You just make funny movies. I mean, you're winning on this little podcast we're doing. You're getting more of the
thanks
jokes
for demeaning
in
the podcast
I am.
This little podcast.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't mean to demean its size.
I'm
but
just kidding.
I have
to compensate with my podcast.
This giant podcast that we're doing. You're winning in the joke. I mean, in making people laugh, I think. and in being interesting, but normally if we weren't performing, I would be probably cracking a lot of the jokes in the house and you'd be very serious.
Are you thinking a lot to the point where you have to force your, it's harder to read you, Shannon. I should say your name because nobody can see me looking at you, but you know what I'm saying? It's harder to understand, to get you. I don't know you that well, obviously, but there's a little bit more of an opaqueness. Mm. Actually, you don't have with Derek, and it's such a subtle thing.
You know exactly what I'm thinking at all times. You can see it on my face.
You're so transparent.
I'm transparent.
Touche. I got you back for that. No. But there's a
transport. Okay.
No, but I'm not saying you're cold or in any way.
No, I mean
you're a very warm person, actually. Yeah. And those two boys are fantastic that you guys manufacture.
But you're a mystery.
You're kind of, there's
a mystery. Yeah. You're a mystery woman.
Mystery woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll just have to pick this up at another time and date because, this is only, this podcast is only 30 minutes. So.
Yeah.
Do you think this show is going to be good, Shan?
Why?
I think it sounded pretty good.
Yeah. No, I think so too.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you could tell it's for film people that are really into film, too.
You said some smart things, Shan.
I did not say anything smart. I didn't say anything smart yet. No, I didn't say anything smart, really.
Well, you lost the opportunity if you're trying to. Yeah, you could. Yeah, we're done.
We're just kind of winding down here. Holding these.
No, it's not. Well, we're being kind of funny, but it's not about sounding smart. It's just talking about kind of about process and. And kind of hit all the points about the movies.
I think the most interesting stuff going on right now for me anyway in talking with Derek is all the criticism.
Like, yeah.
I'm not used to that.
Right.
So,
because you're public. It's public, yeah.
It's really big. Tomatoes are nothing. You really feel like you're getting pelted by something.
Mm. But there's praise too, right?
What's that?
There's praise too.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That doesn't soften some of the blow?
Yeah, it does.
What did your mom think of the film?
She loves it, but, it's like me. Right. I love it. Derek and the kids are in it. It's like, how can I not love it, Right. It's like, so my eyes are clouded already, so.
Yeah. Do you feel then that, I should have asked this before, but do you feel then if somebody actually criticizes it and it's like kind of attacking on some level, your family?
I know.
Because, how could it not feel that way now that I think about it?
It's funny. It hasn't hit me that way.
Good.
Though.
Yeah.
Even though I kind of wish it would, maybe I'm not being protective, but no. Because it still feels like a character, and so does Derek, Mm-hmm. I mean, the kids are, if anybody was to say anything, there's, how can you? They're just like little.
Nobody's. They're quite good in the cherubs, film though, too. You know? So nobody's going to criticize the kids. But,
yeah.
They're really good in the film. But have you? Is there a history of? Do critics ever do that? Do they ever tear into kids?
They do when the kids act.
Yeah. I just haven't read that much.
There's been a lot of, with the Oscar, with the Beast of the Southern Wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard of that film?
Yeah.
The girl in that, she, there's been a lot of criticism leveled because there's that film and then there was another with a very young actor also out just recently. There's a few. And, there's definitely, because they're acting, like your kids in the film, they really aren't acting. They're just sort of, right? They're being themselves. Yeah. And can a kid act at that age? How nuanced can they be? And are they just aping? Are they mimicking? And are they, does it matter? These are other conversations. So I've been reading about this thing, but there are critics that do, not in a personal way,
bash kids.
But they're bashing the performance. They're saying it's just not, it just doesn't.
They
I
should
don't know.
Bash
it's not
it.
Like,
I want to read those because I haven't seen any. I know sometimes critics get brutal, but not on kids.
No,
I still haven't seen them.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
not brutal.
Yeah, on kids.
But just criticizing the idea, I guess, of when a kid really act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do they deserve it? It's more also. Couched in the nomination process, when you start giving like a 3-year-old, like how young are they going to get? Every few years, it seems like the nomination goes to a younger supporting actress.
I mean, it is a performance though in a movie with kids because you're capturing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be acting. But
right.
Shannon and I always have that conversation too with acting. Do you need to, if you're going to act drunk, do you need to just fake it? Mm-hmm. Or is it okay if you're drunk? Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that take anything away from acting? Mm-hmm. Does it mean you're not acting if you mm-hmm. actually drank some beers for the scene? Yeah. Or is it only acting if you're faking it?
Right. And not only that, but isn't it really the director who's creating something out of their vision, whatever the actor is doing to achieve the visions of the director?
Yeah.
It's beside the point.
Yeah.
Right? Which is kind of auteur way of thinking about it, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. And I got something else to say about the criticism. The thing is, mm-hmm. is if the good criticism feels good to you, then that, if you let it feel good, then that only opens up the bad criticism to feel bad.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I always read everything that comes out. Yeah, absolutely. But I try to make sure that I don't get up if I read a compliment. Mm-hmm. I try to stay even, zened out, you know what I mean? So that when the negative stuff comes, I'm not a slave to it. So then all of a sudden I don't have to work to try to please that. You know what I mean? Because then you're just...
Right. But if you're reading a New York Times article or review,
yeah,
and it's couching it as a likely Oscar nomination filled, it's hard, I'm sure, not to feel that takes care of the negative reviews.
Oh yeah, of course, that would be nice, and also would help the business of the film.
Sure,
you know what I mean. But personally, I guess your feeling as an artist or as someone who's creating it to give that too much credence in your soul.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? If it makes you feel too good, you're just really setting yourself up. I call it the spankings and the rubs. Mm-hmm. Okay. If someone, like, I don't know, imagine like a father figure or a boss, if you do something for them and after you're done with the job, they give you a rub and they said, and that rub feels good. And then the next time you do a job, they give you a spanking. All you are going to want to do is get that rub back. So you're going to do whatever you can do to make that boss happy.
Yeah.
And so I don't consider the critics to be bosses. Or anyone mm-hmm. to be a boss. You know, when you're an artist, you should be your own boss. Mm-hmm. So you can't succumb to the rubs. The rubs can't feel good. Mm-hmm. The moment they start to feel good, then you're owned by it.
Yeah, rubs. Sounds a little bit kinky, frankly, but I didn't know where you were going to go with that. But
I was just thinking that, I'm just getting used to these, mm-hmm. reading these things, and I tell you, when you can remove yourself from them, the way they're using the language is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like, some of these critics are really good. It's like, I was almost getting the chills with one of them, you know, because they they just build it, or take it down. And it's just like, wow, you know, if you can take yourself out of it and just read the review.
More objectively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like... I mean, some of the language is kind of great, you know?
Sure.
So I'm starting to understand their art form.
Right, like, right. Yes, sure. There's definitely a whole vernacular and a whole,
But they're moving and shaking in that little column, you know?
Yeah, it's sure. Like, yeah, well.
These are pizzazzy people. I mean, I hope we get to meet some of these people. I'm curious, you know? Mm-hmm.
There's an open invitation if I ever heard one there. If you're a critic, come and check it out. Well, everybody should. I think it's there too. Well, I can't speak for a place beyond the pines yet, but I'm anticipating it in a big way. Again, it premieres in New York in LA Friday, March 29th. And Toeheads, again, will be popping up in various places, including New Directors, Rooftop Films in here in New York, starting Wednesday night.
The Lucille Ball Festival in Pennsylvania, too.
Oh, come on. Yeah. What?
I got into that one. August.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sounds like all right. Well, that's good. It's apropos.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for,
thanks,
you know,
Adam.
For doing this.
Thanks,
it's
Adam.
A pleasure. Okay. Someday my pain will mock you, harness your blame, harness your blame, walk through with the wild wolves around. In the morning, I'll call you.
sun smoking stars. You swing wide your crane, swing wide your crane. The story's all over you. In the morning, I'll call you. Can't you find a clue? When your eyes are all painted Sinatra blue.
So